Now, it's always a pleasure to talk to my next guest this evening, because actually the public response is phenomenal. You only have to mention his name and all the emails start coming in. And he is, of course, one of the Walker brothers, and it's a very good evening to John Walker. Nice to be talking to you again, John.
Nice to talk to you again.
Now, I was talking to David Marks, one of the original Beach Boys, the other day, and I didn't realise that you guys used to all hang around together in those days.
Well, yeah, we actually lived a couple of miles apart. David was actually one of my guitar students.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
It was kind of an interesting thing. And I mean, David actually lived across the street from the Wilson brothers.
That's right.
And I was teaching David, you know, David wanted to learn how to play guitar. And we sort of met up and I said, well, you know, I can show you some stuff. And I started giving, you know, he was like my very first guitar pupil, which I didn't really, I mean, I wasn't like a guitar teacher, but it was just, we were friends, and I just sort of got involved with teaching him. And then the next thing you know, Carl Wilson became a pupil too, so
you
actually, whole family almost.
So you sort of hung around really with the Wilson brothers in those days.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I said, you know, we only lived a few miles apart, and we had a lot of interest. I mean, Dennis and I were both car fanatics.
Yeah.
And I remember when after the Beach Boys got their first hit record, Dennis proudly came over to show me his brand new 1959 Chevrolet with a Corvette engine in it. He was all excited about that.
I guess there must have been a good gig scene in California in those days for you, all you guys, to have been earning money out of the business. There must have been a lot of live venues that you could play at.
Well, you know, actually, funnily enough, one of the biggest things that was going on was playing. You know, we were all not old enough to play in clubs. I mean, you had the problem with that because you had to be 21 to play in a dance club, which was like the main kind of places that people played. But you had colleges. So we had, you know, like UCLA and SC and, you know, and the various colleges around. So you could actually play at the fraternity parties and sorority parties and things. And that's basically where we all kind of got started.
Did you ever do gigs with the Beach Boys?
We didn't actually do it. Yeah, well, the funny part about it was Carl used to sub and play guitar for me when I couldn't play with my band.
Right.
You know, if something came up that I couldn't be there, like, you know, Carl would sit in with my band and take care of that business. But we actually, funnily enough, we actually never worked together. It seemed like, you know, they started making records. I was playing in clubs. The next thing you know, we did do one thing that was reasonably close. We actually played in the same place, but on different nights. And that went on for several months.
Now, going back to those days, was it always going to be the music business? Or, you know, was there a possibility you could have done something else? Or was it never a possibility?
Well, I had to go to college because I was always kind of very interested in architecture and you know, sort of technical things. And I had to go at studying that and doing all that. But I was also, you know, the hard part was is I was in school and playing in clubs at night. And, you know, there's only so many hours in the day. And, it turned out that the choice was you're either going to do one or the other. And the other became the music because I was so involved in it. I couldn't, you know, you can't, it's not something I could stop.
Okay, that's John Walker. In your spare time, John, what do you enjoy doing? What are your hobbies?
Well, you know what, the funny part about it, besides traveling around, I enjoy traveling a lot, you know. And it's,
yeah.
I know it sounds very strange because when you tour, you know, you do thousands of miles and you think, my God, that's the last thing in the world you want to do is go anyplace. But I like to, you know, I like to travel around a bit. My biggest, probably, and I have to say, it's a hobby in a way, but it's not really a hobby because I'm very serious about it. I love to record, and I have my own studio, so I'm always kind of got some project or another going. Or, you know, I've got friends of mine who have studios that are working on various things, and. You know, we spend a lot of time discussing all the latest gear and, you know, what's new and what can we do and what we've accomplished and what we're trying to accomplish. And it's kind of it's pretty much, it takes up a lot of your life. You know, you just kind of get in there and it doesn't seem to be any way out.
With all the wonderful, you mentioned the technology there, and with all the advances that have been with the digital technology and everything now, I mean, looking back on your records with the Walkers, I mean, they seem pretty perfect. But do you think that modern technology could have improved them in any way?
I don't think so. I think in a way, I don't think it would have helped them. There was something about, well, there's one thing you can never, ever, ever beat, and that's when you have a really good orchestra playing a really good arrangement of a song you're going to sing, and you learn those things, and you get this sort of synergy between the orchestra and yourself. And I think that actually lights the music up a lot more than, being able to say, well, you know, we can go back and edit this and do that, and we can add this and take this out and put this in, you know, because you can, these days you can do that. I still kind of that live feel still for me has a great deal of magic.
How many takes did it do for those great classics in the 60s? Were they, a lot of days in a studio, or was it just a couple of hours, that sort of thing?
Basically, we went in. A typical day layout would be the orchestra would come in, and they would, everybody would set up, and there used to be, 38, maybe 40 people there. So once that was sort of, once everybody was set, and they'd start doing the run-throughs for the engineer so he could, sort of mic everything the way he wanted to mic it, they played and we sang. And if we had, basically it was a song an hour.
And was it difficult to replicate that sound on stage, because you had a big orchestra in the studio? You know, how did you get that on tour?
Well, that's always been a major problem. That's where you have to go with, today's technology you really score on there, because, I mean, you have synthesizers that are going to give you a whole string section, it's going to sound like a string section. It's obviously not going to be the real thing, but it's enough of illusion to it to where it actually works.
We're talking to John Walker here on the BBC. I'm Roger Day, and we have a new recording project which we're about to be revealed. John, tell us all about this exciting project.
Well, it's every year. For the last few years, I've been putting a Christmas song on my website, and a lot of my fans and people have said to me, "Why don't you just make a Christmas album so we can have a whole album?" And I sort of promised I would do it, and then what am I going to do? What songs would I do? Anyway, to make a long story short, I'm just about finished this. It's going to be done, so when I come over in November, I'll have the album will be finished. And it's called Songs of Christmas and Inspiration. And it's kind of a cross between Christmas songs and inspirational songs. And it's just something I've always wanted to do. And now that I'm kind of almost finished with it, I'm very happy, with the sort of end product.
We're going through a tremendous stage at the moment. I think there's a resurgence in the music business. There's a lot of good new bands coming along, and great songwriters and that sort of thing again, and guitar-based bands. Are you sort of, does that sort of make you feel good again, because there's so many good songs that maybe you could sort of latch into nowadays?
Well, it makes me feel good, because I've always been a firm believer that if you've got a good piece of music and if you've got a good band, one way or the other, it's going to work out. People are going to pay attention to that in the end. At one point, it was almost a total producer kind of thing. Mm. It would be like, okay, what's commercial today, and what can we sell today, and how much marketing can we put into the product? But I still, I've always been a firm believer that, good music is going to be there, and it's going to survive. And it, as you say again today, there's a resurgence of music again. So that's very exciting.
Speaking of bands, who's going to be backing you on this tour?
It'll be the Dakotas.
All right, yeah, I was talking to them the other day. They were looking forward to it, by the way.
Yeah, we have it's an odd thing. Back in 2004, I did my first tour in more years than I care to mention. And the Dakotas were, it was basically, I was, when I agreed to do the tour, they said, okay, well, this band is going to back you. And I never really had met them, or I didn't know them very well.
Sure.
And by the time that tour was over, we knew each other very well. It was a long haul. We just worked together well. And, it's almost like when you have a good combination, it's a thing that you want to stick with. So we kind of have a deal where, when I come over and play, they're always the band.
Well, everyone's looking forward to it, because I'm already getting emails about it. Your fan base is large and loyal, which is very encouraging after all these years.
Yes, it is.
And we'll tell you the dates in just a moment. But John Walker, thanks very much for talking to us again.
My pleasure.
I love that man. He's a great guy.